this podcast may contain spoilers from whatever TV show or movie is mentioned. Please.
Yo, what's going on? I am Scoots Bronson.
And I am Estop Foster.
That's right, and you're tuning into another episode of the Viewers Anonymous podcast, where we give you our very own reviews and takes of movies and TV straight out of Hollywood. Brother, what's up, man?
Man, I can't call it, man. This is one, been excited about this one, man. Mm-hmm. This is one of those underrated, like, you know what I'm saying? You know when, you remember the house party, the original house party?
Yeah.
When George Clinton was doing the thing, he's like, I got another dusty one for you dusties.
Oh,
like,
this
is one of the ones right here, man.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? One, you pull this movie out the crate and you throw this on, automatically a good time.
I would equivalate this to like the Frankie Beverly and May song that play at the cookout every year?
You make me happy.
Before I let go of black movies, for sure. Okay.
Yes.
This is it. First and foremost, what I do fuck around with this movie about is this. Okay. It's only an hour and a half long. Not too long, not too short. Straight to the point, but it gives you enough within this time frame to pretty much let you know, like, this is what this movie's about, right? So, quick synopsis, this movie is Kingdom Come. It's starring a myriad of actors and actresses. LL Cool J, Jada Pinkett Smith, Vivica A. Fox, Loretta Devine, Anthony Anderson, Tony Braxton, Cedric the Entertainer, Darius McCrary, Whoopi Goldberg, Richard Grant, and Kalita Smith, Aloma Wright. It's a bunch of them, okay?
Yeah.
But pretty much this movie is about two brothers and a mother dealing with a death in the family. It's a husband and a father pretty much passing away. And during the process of having to set up funerals, set up pretty much everything else surrounding, you know what I'm saying, a death in the family of the patriarch of the family. And so it's dealing with the Slocum family. You got Ray Bud Slocum, you got Junior Slocum, which are the two sons of the departed. Then you have Raynell Slocum, who's the wife. You got Margaret Slocum, who is the sister. You got Lucille Slocum, who is the wife to Ray Bud. You got Sharice Slocum. We got to talk about Sharice, though, because this is a lot of forewarning and foretelling in this role for J.D. Smith. A lot of forewarning and foretelling. But anyway, but you got Sharice Slocum, who is the wife of Junior, and then you got Royce Slocum, who is the son of
Marguerite,
and then you got Juanita Slocum, who is Teddy. Teddy Ray. What is that nigga name?
Hold on, who did you say?
It's like Teddy Ray or something like that. I forgot what his name is. Is it Teddy Ray or Ted something?
I think so. You talking about Tony Braxton's husband?
Yeah, her husband.
Yeah, who we never seen, but yeah.
The one Jada Pinkett was supposed to marry.
Yeah, the one that she wanted to marry. And let me say this.
The lawyer.
I got to say this. Yeah, the lawyer. I got to say this at the beginning of the pod, okay? I don't know if anybody knows this, but one of like my first crushes as a kid was Toni Braxton. Yo, when I tell you the two times this woman came up in this movie, You want to talk about fine. Don't you practice. Hey, I got a picnic with this movie, but we'll get to it later. But yo, Toni Braxton, bro, hey. In this movie, she done got too much work done now, but in this movie?
Yeah. Hey, she was finer than the motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie to
you.
My
God.
So, there's this one character in this movie called Tiny. If you watch this movie, you know exactly who Tiny is, okay?
Yeah, hold on.
Something was off to me about Tiny. But now that I see his headshots on IMDb,
yeah,
I know what was off to me. This nigga look like Luther Vandross.
He do look like a big Luther Vandross.
Yeah, bigger like Big Luther. He like Big Luther, bro.
So now, this is what tripped me out. I want to know which way did Bud mean. So you remember the scene when Ray Bud was looking, and he was like, man, you're supposed to keep this family together. Your brother can't keep his pants zipped up. Your sister loves the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I'm like, okay. So which one is a refrigerator? Because it could mean two things. It could mean the actual refrigerator.
Or it
could be Tiny Big Ass. Hey, man, who's the refrigerator?
Let me tell you something. First off, it ain't Tiny, okay? Because, once again, like I said, that nigga looked like Big Luther. Now, I will say this. It was a bunch of questionable shit he did in this movie that I don't know if he wanted to be what's her name?
Delightful.
It seemed like he wanted to be Delightful's friend, not her boyfriend. Okay. All the waving and shit that he did, all that weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big Luther wanted to be Delightful's friend, not her boyfriend. Okay. That's just my observation. Now, real quick. Just to throw this in here, because I always thought this was funny. Clifton Davis, okay,
he plays. Oh, wait a minute. You said two things. What was the other thing? You said it was two questionable things about him.
Oh, the fact that the first one was the fact that this nigga looked like Luther Vandross.
The second
was the fact that he wanted to be friends with her instead of her boyfriend.
Okay, well, there's a third thing though. There's a third thing.
What's that?
So in the beginning of the movie, why am I forgetting her name? So what, Raynell? No, the mom.
Mom, yeah.
So Raynell is reading the letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Reading the letter to Bud about Marguerite, right? Okay. Now in the letter, which is stupid that she wrote a letter when she could have called, but she wrote a letter. Saying that Tiny's cutting my grass, and because his birthday's coming up, she paid him more. Did you remember how much she paid for him to cut all that goddamn grass she had?
No.
She paid him $2, and then for his birthday, she paid him $3.
Let me tell you something, bro. Let me tell you something. You know who would have cut all that grass for $3? Big Luther. Okay. Big Luther would have cut that shit for $2 or $3. I'm trying to tell you, man.
Oh man, but I'm sorry, man. Go ahead. I thought you was gonna say that because at the very beginning, you might have missed it because it was just the introduction.
I totally missed that whole shit. Because when I first seen that nigga, I said that nigga is Luther Vandross. I said I don't care what nobody said that's Luther Vandross. That nigga looked like Luther Vandross. But real quick, it's a nigga in this movie, right?
Okay.
His real name is Clifton Davis. You know what his character is?
Clifton Davis. Oh, that's the dude that played, oh man, what was that movie?
He played in a lot of shit.
He did, but it's
but you know
okay.
What his name is in this movie?
It is Charles Winslow. That's funny.
who is in this movie with the last name Winslow?
Darius McCray.
Come on, man. They paying homage, bro. They show some love, man. That's what I'm saying. But this movie is amazing, bro. So first off, right, that was just a little quick joke. But real quick, though, like I said, this movie is amazing. Like I said, this movie centers around a family dealing with not just a death in the family, but they're also dealing with the fact that they're coming to terms with the fact that there's other business around the family besides the actual death that has happened in the family, right? Yeah. So you have Ray Budd and you got Junior who has to deal with the fact of paying for the funeral, paying for the headstone, just the whole financial situation, dealing with the death of their father, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Marguerite, who is dealing with her son, who is pretty much a deadbeat ass nigga, right? You have Ray Budd and Lucille, who are dealing with the fact that they want to have a child, but it's a difficult process for them right now. They tried to have one in the past, but a miscarriage happened. And then you got Sharice, and then you got Junior. Junior can't keep his, you know what I'm saying, himself in his pants. And Sharice is out here, you know what I'm saying, with three badass kids at that. And she's mad because she's married to Junior, even though she could have been married to Teddy Ray or whatever the nigga name was, the lawyer of the family. She could have been rich.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Juanita. You know what I mean? But Juanita is out here living life, or so we think she's living life, because she's married to, you know what I'm saying, the lawyer. And you got Reverend Beverly. What the fuck is this nigga name? Beverly. Hold on. Because I got to give you this nigga name, bro. Because this nigga name is crazy. Beverly H. Hooker.
Yeah.
Reverend Hooker. Okay.
Reverend Hooker. Yo,
yeah, Reverend Hooker.
I got a funny story, bro.
Reverend Hooker.
Talk about him.
Reverend Hooker has a lisp out of this fucking world. Reverend Hooker's tongue fat than the motherfucker. Okay. So
yeah,
that's pretty much just a breakdown of the situations that's going on. So you going back to watch this, you going back to check this out. What was your thoughts behind this, bro?
Man, look, this always been like one of my favorite like underground movies. And a movie that I kind of, you know, just semi compare it to, but I think that in my opinion, it's a funnier movie, even though the other movie is full of comedians. I think that this movie is better than Death at a Funeral. Okay. Even though Death at a Funeral is filled with comedians. But this movie isn't, but I just feel like the story around it is a whole lot funnier. And then it's a whole lot of like other things that I like about this movie that, you know what I'm saying, where you just, from a certain demographic, you kind of understand. Like the whole thing with Bud being mean and Shirley, they would say. Surly, yeah. Mean like
and Surly.
And like, but also it's a family who, where, you know, you hear stuff like, you know, well, Ray Budd would be like, you know, where's my good pants?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Like when Ray Budd and Junior got into the argument, he was like, yeah, I see you got that new, you got that new used truck. And he was like, then you took your kids down
First off, shout out to Anthony Anderson for it. Nigga, what is a new used truck?
but dude, that's the thing. That's the thing. When you make so much money,
mm-hmm.
you can't go to a dealership and get a new car. So a lot of the times, you know what I'm saying? You get like I always been in the thing of like when people, because I've been there. You know what I'm saying? Still that they'd be like, oh man, they'd be like, you got a new car? I'd be like, well, I mean, it's not a new car. I'm like, well, it's new to you. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, it's still used. You know what I mean? So,
if you ain't have it, it's new to you for sure. But
yeah,
that nigga saying a new used car is wild. Okay, It felt like a shot. I'm not gonna lie. It felt like a shot to Ray Budd.
I don't think so. I don't think it was because when you look at the conversation that was having. So yeah. Okay, let's paint the scene. So the scene was, you know, he come out of the room and they was like, let's go with the Heavenly Express. They was trying to pick the coffin. Yeah. So he's like, let's go with the Heavenly Express. And Ray Budd's like, man, that's kind of pricey. He was like, man, don't worry about that. Y'all, me and Ray Budd is going to take care of it. And Ray looking at him like.
I.e. Ray Budd is going to take care of this.
Yeah. He's like, how much you going to be kicking in, Junior? You know what I'm saying? He was like, Ray, he's like, this is our only dad, man. He was like, man, we can't be sitting here thinking about money. And he was like, we got to do this right. And so then, you know, Ray got in his bag. He got mad. He was like, yo, like, I'm going to be putting in a lot more than you going to be chipping in. He was like, what, you think I ain't going to pay my part? So then they stood up. So they going back and forth.
Because I ain't what he said. That nigga said, you think I ain't going to pay my fair share? Hey, man, you know there's country than a motherfucker, bro. Who still says that?
They country, but he said my fair share. And so then he was like, you think I don't know about that other new used truck that you got out there? And he was like, then you took I forget what they said, Wally World or whatever the fuck he said. He was like, I want to take my
you think I don't want to take my wife and my kids to ride them rides?
Hey,
that nigga right there said. All right,
can we move on?
He said, man, take them demon possessed kids out there.
Nah, yeah, so his kid was out of control, bro.
Yeah, his kid was bad as fuck. Yo, when she said, yo, if you want to know what a black family's like, but when they said, and she said, what's her name? When Cherise had said, she was like, I hope my kids are too much of a trouble. She said, oh, honey, we locked them kids outside.
Locked them outside, bro. We ain't even worried about them kids, okay? Them kids is out there with the wolves and praying for the wolves.
And then Royce beating, he's like, stop beating on the window. I'll beat your ass if your daddy won't. I'm telling you, hey, bud, there is a country black family, bud.
Absolutely.
And so the whole reason,
if your daddy won't, is a wild ass line. That's a crazy line. That's a wild ass line, bro.
It really is, but it's so relatable.
Absolutely.
And what was so relatable, the point I was trying to make was there was a family that was on the brink. Like, they didn't have a lot of money. Ray Budd just worked at a mechanic shop.
It's a car shop. And,
I don't know what Lucille really did, but it just seemed like
Ray Budd made enough for Lucille to sit at the house.
It's possible. And plus, they didn't have no kids. They were trying. Exactly, but, yeah. You know what I mean? So they making it. But you can tell.
That nigga Junior, this is the thing I don't like about this movie.
Okay.
They didn't believe in Junior, okay? Junior had dreams. Junior had big dreams. First off, the idea that he had was fire. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A parking lot cleaner, a machine that cleans parking lots, is a genius idea. Now, I'm sure he probably executed it wrong because the nigga couldn't even keep the fact that he was cheating on his girl out of the car. Okay? She found the earring. And she asked him, and this nigga fumbled it. He fumbled the bag. So, not surprised about that. But I will say, that idea was genius, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just parking lots you can clean up. This nigga basically made a street cleaner.
Yeah.
That's really what he made. He made a street cleaner. You know what I'm saying? And what's even crazier is the fact that they were living in this backwoods ass area to where they didn't know that street cleaners were an invention, because they was talking about it like nobody would ever use it. They were talking about this shit like nobody would ever use this in life, when the truth of the matter is the regular cities, this shit is already created. You know what I'm saying? So much so that Ray Bud was like, man, come clean my driveway. Now, first and foremost, this is supposed to clean parking lots. So this nigga... Bro, oh my god, come clean my driveway. This nigga said, sure, yeah, sir. This device is meant to clean whole parking lot. That shit that he was gonna pay him for cleaning his driveway is so overpriced. Okay, it's super overpriced, bro. You don't treat your brother that way, man. You don't do your brother like that. That was fucked up, man. That was fucked up, bro. But I will say, I will say though, like I said, man, Junior had big dreams, you know what I'm saying? And he had a vision, and I respect it. I respect it to the fullest because, you know what I'm saying, in every family, there's somebody who dreams of being great, you know what I'm saying? Who dreams of getting to that next level, who dreams of something that nobody else dreams of.
No, Junior, and that was Royce.
Definitely Royce, but Junior was also that guy. Junior was also that guy, okay? Because Junior said, hey, I got this idea for this invention. I want to create this motherfucker and make it happen. And instead of getting with a woman who would be down for him and care for him, he got with Sharice, okay? Now, Sharice is a gold-digging, no good, good-for-nothing Jada Pinkett Smith. Okay? What's crazy is, Jada Pinkett Smith is who played her.
Hey, she said, she told motherfucking Lucille, she said, I could have been dumb and stupid. She said, I could have been rich and stupid. Yo,
she said,
I would have been good at it.
She said, I could have been rich and stupid. I'd have been good. She said, but look at me now. Broken foolish.
Hey.
Hey, bro. Sick, bro. Sick.
It is. But since we're talking about dreams,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Royce had a dream, okay? And the great, you know what I'm saying, Marguerite. You know what I'm saying, Loretta Devine, we did a pod on her. Dude, she, like, real talk, she kind of stole the movie for me.
Yeah. No, absolutely she did.
That woman is hilarious. But, so Royce runs out of gas on the way to the house. So, they sitting in the car, they had a little thing, which was funny. My son thought this shit was funny too. When they was doing the radio. So he playing his hip hop shit. She turned the station, play some gospel shit. So they're going back and forth. And she ended up leaving it on the gospel station and pulled the knob out. And she was like, Jesus got the knob. And he was like, oh, that's funny, mama. He said, that's funny. He said, he turned it off, but Satan got the keys. And well, he thought that shit was funny. But anyway, go back to the dream part. So she was like, Royce, what are you going to do with your life? She was like, those unemployment checks going to stop. He was like, Mama, I know. She was like, what you going to do? He was like, I know the unemployment is going to stop. He was like, you think I don't know that? He's like, I thought about that. And he said, and when they do, he said, I'm gonna settle down, and I'm going to get me a nice girl. And I'm going to sit down. He said, settle down and get me a nice girl. He said, have me a couple of kids. So you always wanted some grandkids. Mm-hmm. And then he said, then I'm going to get on welfare. Yo, this dude's whole plan was just, when my unemployment check stopped, I'm going to get a girl, get her pregnant, and get on welfare.
Sick nigga shit, okay? Because what? Why is that your motive though? Just to not work.
Yo,
Right. No. Okay. So let's real quick, bro, because we got to talk about this nigga character, Darius McCrary. Shout out to him.
Yes.
Okay. Because to go from Eddie Winslow to a nigga that live in the South is amazing, and to have just like the authenticity of the accent is amazing as well, right? But my question is this. Well, how come every time like we get a movie like this, right? Mm-hmm. It's always that one nigga who just, he don't go to church, he don't believe in God no more. You know what I'm saying? He out here gangbanging or maybe selling drugs, or he done killed people before. But his mama just keep pressing him and pressing him and pressing him. And one time, his mama just do something and he like, oh shit, mama, let me put this blanket on you. And next thing you know, he take the Bible, and next thing you know, this nigga just read the Bible. In that one scene, he reads it and he remembers the whole scripture. Why do we have to keep putting that in movies?
Well, I will say this. From being in the South, you know what I'm saying, growing up with that grandmother who, you know, forced me to go to church growing up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But she was cool enough to, she only made me go to Sunday school like once a month. She didn't make mm-hmm. me go every Sunday. But, mm-hmm. you know, but once a month, she made me go. Now, mm-hmm. I pay attention, all that type stuff, you know, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, with Marguerite being the type of person that she is, and unfortunately, she had one son to go to prison. He's on his way, basically. Remember, she had two sons.
She had two sons to go to prison. Well, remember the picture that he picked up? That was him.
The picture was locked up. No, he wasn't. His brother was. He had a suit on.
In the picture, he had the jumpsuit on. His brother had the suit on.
No. Look at the picture, dude. No, he was the one. Yeah, you got him crisscross. Okay. He was the one that had the tie.
He
on.
Had the suit that on was his brother. Okay, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, but her being a guy fearing one, I'm pretty sure she made him go to church as a kid. And when he probably picked up that Bible, and like, cause see, she was asleep, and like she kind of like jerked, and the Bible fell, and he picked it up.
She's fake sleep.
I mean,
come on, man.
Yeah, because when she was snoring the other night. Yeah,
first off, who fall asleep and like, and then drop the Bible? Come on, man. It's too obvious. That was too obvious of a scene for us to know what was gonna happen next.
Well, he picks it up. He see the picture of him and his brother and his mom, and then it happened to land on that page, and he read the Bible scripture. Right.
Happened to land on the page she wanted him to land on. Picture of her, him, and his brother, and he remembered it all in one night. Come on, man. Just to recite it at the funeral.
Man, come on, man. I mean, it could have happened, man. It could have happened.
Horrible plot twist. That plot twist is trash, bro. We got to do better, man. We got to do better. Now, The good plot twist is the fact that my man Junior got it together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it was hella plot twist with Junior. First, he was gonna kill him with the car. That didn't faze Sharice. So then he put out the gun. Now he had Sharice for a quick second. He talked too much in that time. And Sharice looked at that gun and was like, nigga, you ain't got no money to afford no bullets. So I know you ain't about to shoot me. My nigga threw his gun on the fucking ground of the car, bro. You know how frustrated you gotta be to throw your gun on the floor of the car? Yeah. That nigga, he just threw that shit.
The whole opening scene, the introduction of those two characters was perfect. All you heard this bitch do was nag, and you know, bro, Junior's like, yo, but he's like, and so then, but when she kept going on and on, he couldn't take it no more.
No, when she started talking about this nigga cousin, I could have been with a rich slogan. Hey, man, that nigga said, you know what, Sharice? I'm gonna kill
us. I'm gonna kill us. Yeah, he said, shut up. Just shut it up. Don't say nothing. That boy put that gun out. He said.
Hey, bro. That nigga said, he grabbed that gun. That nigga said, I'm gonna kill you. Then I'm gonna kill me.
No. He said, if you say one more word about a parking lot, he said, I swear for God.
Hey, man. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, man, she looked at that gun. She said, you ain't even got no money to afford no bullets. Bro. Hey, when he threw his kid's shoe out the window.
You said you only got one. Hey, now you got to see how that feel. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. This was, I think, I'm trying to think. Let me see. When did this
came out? 2001.
Bro, hold on real quick. Oh, my God. What's the Jamie Kennedy? I can't even think of the Jamie Kennedy movie. I'm laughing so hard, bro.
Malibu's Most Wanted. Oh, man. Yeah, that whole scene. Okay,
this is definitely around the time you said this came out in 2001. So yeah. Malibu's Most Wanted came out in 2003. When I tell you I don't even want to say from starting at this time, but from, let's just start at this time frame, just for reference sake, right? From this time all the way up until I want to say about maybe 2005, 2006. Anthony Anderson had this run of just classic comedic roles. I'm talking about just none of them were lead roles, right? Like they were all like, whether it was like supporting actor or just whether he was just the guy that just so happened to play, you know what I'm saying, like outside of the supporting actor role. But like when he played that, he stole the show. The reason I bring Malibu's Most Wanted up is because him and Taye Diggs, right? If you watch that movie, him and Taye Diggs are really the funniest parts of that movie, right? The specific scene when they are hired to kidnap Jamie Kennedy's character and they kidnap him or whatever, and they driving and he like, yeah, you gotta, so they stop at a gas station or something, like, yeah, you gotta go in and you gotta rob the gas station. He like, I gotta do what? Because, you know, his character is supposed to be like gangster or whatever. He like, I gotta do what? He like, they like, you gotta go in and you gotta rob the gas station. He be like, well, what if I just go in there and bought some chips and did it? And then Taye Diggs character turns around and go, this ain't no picnic, bitch. And he's like, all right, cool. And he goes in there and he robs the store. He commences to rob the store. Then they cut back to the scene where Anthony Anderson and Taye Diggs are sitting in the car. And then this nigga, Anthony Anderson, now mind you, this whole time we ain't heard none of their real voices, right? This nigga, Anthony Anderson, goes, oh my gosh, when you said this ain't no picnic, bitch. Bruh. It's so funny. So like when he's playing like the secondary roles, and he's like supposed to be the, I don't even know if he's supposed to be like the humor, or he's just supposed to just flat out act in the secondary roles, because even in this movie he's not necessarily like the comic relief. He's more so just the bumbling brother who hasn't got it together, right? The bumbling older brother, I'm sorry, who hasn't got it together, he's married just like his younger brother is. He got kids, his younger brother doesn't, but he's just the one that just can't keep it together. He's not good with money. He's not really good at his marriage. He's just fucking up all around. And so you kind of see Anthony Anderson in this role, but it's like bro, everything he does is just fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's just when that nigga had to go get the Pepsi. Right. Let me tell you something, bro. There's few things in life that I really like. When I see, I pay attention to it and I laugh at it. It's a very, very few things. This particular part of the movie made me laugh so fucking hard. Because first and foremost, the nigga played hardcore in the car. I don't know whose earring it is. I don't know. Knowing that, you know exactly whose earring this is. Now, he done had a, you know what I'm saying, him and his brother done got into the fight. They done pieced it up. They in the garage, they talking. Now, he done told his brother about everything about him cheating and who it was and everything. Mm-hmm. So now his whole mission from that point on is to make it right with Sharice, his wife. And this mm-hmm. nigga, this nigga gets in the car and travels the city to go get some Pepsi. That's it. Just some Pepsi. He finally gets the Pepsi. He comes back and is at his dad's wake. So this nigga is sitting there in between Royce and Ray Budd. Okay, with the Pepsi. I went to go get Sharice the Pepsi. She ain't feeling good. Da, da, da. So meanwhile, the whole time Royce is just trying to get Ray Budd to see his father in the casket. Ray Budd is refusing. He can't yes. see him in this casket because he's envisioning himself in this whole thing. So once Junior get there, Royce like, all right, I'm gonna leave y'all fellas to it. I done seen enough. I'm getting the fuck up out of here. This nigga Junior, like, man, you gotta turn around and look at him, Ray Buddy. Ray, he look good. You know what I'm saying? They did him right, man. They did. This nigga ain't a dime.
He really look dead, right?
Yeah, he really look dead. Hey, man, this nigga ain't paying a dime for nothing that's going on in this motherfucker. And got the nerve to be making decisions. Okay,
you're like,
finally
Ray.
When it all come across, you know what I'm saying? Ray Budd finally look. He done already had the vision, like you said, when his dad popped up out the casket, like, nigga, your brother can't keep his dick in his pants, your sister is loving the refrigerator, nigga, and you broke. What's up? You know what I'm saying?
You need a drink.
Man, it looked like you need a drink. You know what I'm saying? The demons is chasing him. So eventually, you know what I'm saying, everything is happening. His mom is just like, hey, I need some space. Let me go take a seat or whatever. And she takes the worst seat in the house. Let's talk about Norval. Okay? Let's talk about my man Norval. First off, my man Norval is on the brink of death. He got a, this nigga got a dialysis machine. That nigga got an oxygen machine. That nigga got an IV drip. That nigga got the heart palpitation machine. That nigga is hooked up to everything. Okay. That nigga Norval is fucking going through it. Bruh. When that motherfucking yelled and said, Norval, you catching everything?
She said, one time I fell and she said, I was in there on the phone and left him on the phone. She said, she just ate him up.
And left that nigga in the goddamn.
Left him on the porch.
Oh my gosh.
Bruh. Hey.
She said, I had to go check him. I left him out there too long, bro. Hey, man. This nigga never just want to be at the house, bro. This nigga don't want to go to no funerals. This nigga don't want to do none of these activities, bro.
She said he been like, well, she said after he take all his pills, he sleep pretty good, but I don't get to sleep too much because I got to wake up and turn them into you.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Oh my god.
That shit crazy, what?
Oh my god. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. This is a funny movie. But the only movie to me that like relates excuse me, the movie that kind of relates to the funny in this movie is Death at a Funeral.
Yeah, that's what I said it reminds me of.
Yeah, for sure. And that was with Martin Lawrence and Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And it also had an all-star cast just like this one does. And I think to me, like as far as like comedy movies, I think that's the beauty of black comedy movies, because we always end up getting so many we always end up getting excuse me, so many different actors and actresses in one film. Like even if you go as far back as a movie like you know what I'm saying, Harlem Nights or Coming to America, like you really get to see all of the best of the best in one film. Whether they're comedic, whether they're dramatic, action, whatever the case may be, we always get to see them in one good film. And I think that, like, especially with this, Death of a Funeral, like, these are two examples of, you know what I'm saying, like, what you get to see when you see an all-star cast. Like, to have Loretta Devine, Vivica A. Fox, Whoopi Goldberg, excuse me, Anthony Anderson, you know, not for nothing, LL Cool J, and all of these other, you know what I'm saying, actors and actresses in this film, is you don't get that anywhere else. Like if you see just a regular film outside of black cinema, you can't get Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Ryan Reynolds and all them in a movie like this and just call it a day. You know what I'm saying? Now, you've had a few, like, I guess, like New Year's Day or New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day and those type movies. But
even I'll give you one.
It has to be a spectacle, though.
I give you one. The Departed.
Talk to me.
Because if you think about it, you had Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Anthony Anderson, Mark Wahlberg, Martin Sheen. It had what's my man name? Played the Joker. Why is it Jack Nicholson? Like, you know what I'm saying, Vera Farmiga. Like, they had a lot of people in it when it comes to that movie. And I feel like I'm still like missing some people, but like it was a all-star studded cast. But I mean, it also was a Martin Scorsese film at the same time. But that's just another one of those movies. Like, if you're taking it from the other side, and like you said, like those Valentine's Day movies, New Year's Day, all of those spectacle movies and things like that. But I know exactly what you're saying, because it's like when you look at it from the black lens. And a few of the names that you didn't mention, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't mention Cedric the Entertainer, you know what I'm saying? Which, you know, he's, you know, the person that he is. And then also a guy like Richard Gant, like, he's not what you would consider like an A-list actor, but he's one of those guys that when he's in something, and this, he actually made like a huge impact in this movie. By just basically being Ray Budd's boss, you know what I'm saying? Because he was the one who owned the mechanic shop or whatever. And so when it comes to these type of movies where you have a large list of very noticeable black characters, it just, you know, for us, and that's what I mean, like this movie wasn't something that was highly talked about, highly recognized, and all that type shit. Right. But in the black lens, like, this is, you know what I'm saying? This is a classic. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't make the noise of something like The Departed did with all the people that was in that.
But see, I only mentioned The Departed real quick, though. I only mentioned The Departed because it's one of those movies that has so many different, I don't want to say A-list, but like major named actors. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has those guys in it. But when we talk about just like certain movies, you don't really get a chance to see all of those guys in one space. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When it comes to me at least, when it comes to certain black comedies, right? Like even if we think of like a Friday, right? You got Chris Tucker, you got AJ Johnson, you got Bernie Mac, John Witherspoon, what's his name? Who played Tony?
Tony.
No, his name is Tony. Tony, damn. The little person,
Mr. Parker,
yeah.
Oh man, but I forget what his name was. Yeah,
he's a comedic actor, you know what I'm saying? Red Grant, what's his dude that he used to be on Comic View. Renato Ray.
Okay.
Renato Ray playing Red's dad. Like, I mean, you just got like a slew of, you know what I'm saying, top guys playing in these roles. You know what I'm saying? And that's just on Friday. Ain't no telling, you know what I'm saying, like the movies we can go down and list of those. But like, if you go into any other film or you go into any other movie, you don't get a chance to see that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like with Death at a Funeral, with, you know what I'm saying, Kingdom Come, these are the type of movies, or like Harlem Nights, Coming to America, you know what I'm saying, like just Friday, those type of films, we get chances to see all of these people come together, you know what I'm saying, in one film and do the thing, you know what I'm saying, like even if you want to take it to like a movie like This Christmas, or is it called This Christmas?
The one with Idris Elba, Loretta Devine.
And, exactly. Elba, you know what I'm saying? Loretta Devine. Chris Brown is in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Regina King.
Delroy Lindo is in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got a whole bunch of different people. And then even if you want to go to that one and just go This Christmas, you know what I'm saying, with Monique and DC Young Fly and like all them other people.
Oh, that's Almost Christmas.
Almost Christmas. I'm sorry. Yeah. Excuse me. But just, you get a chance just to see so many stars in one film. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just with those movies, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially this one, those end up being classics because you have so much talent on one film. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got so much, like, imagine if you, when you really go down this call sheet and look at the names that's on here, and look at what they eventually going to do, so on and so. I mean, the starting lineup is already crazy. Whoopi Goldberg, LL Cool J, Anthony Anderson, Loretta Devine, Darius McCary, Vivica A. Fox, Jada Pinkett Smith. You know what I'm saying? And we at seven.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's already crazy. We at seven. Yeah. We ain't even went down the full list. So
yeah, like you didn't even mention Cedric the Entertainer in that.
That's what I'm saying. I ain't even get to him yet, and he only play a smart part. So
yeah,
it's dope to see all of these people in this. You know what I'm saying, on a film like this, be able to do what they, you know what I'm saying, do on just a regular basis, bro. It has no choice but to be a classic.
Yeah, and so I showed my son, when I watched this yesterday, I had him watch it with me because I wanted to see if he could catch some of the humor, because, you know, he never seen this before.
Right.
So we're watching it, and one part that he thought was funny, and I mean, he's 14, so obviously this had to be funny, but he picked up on it immediately. So when they were at the funeral and they're waiting on Reverend Hooker to come out, and so Ray Budd go back there and tell Larice, like, yo, like, what's going on? Man, they're talking about all, like, what are you doing? She was like, look, She was like, Reverend Hooker and his wife, you know, they celebrating the anniversary, went to this Mexican restaurant, and let's just say, you know, his stomach ain't agreeing with him and all this type of shit. So then they go in. and so then the Reverend Hooker said, he said, yeah, he said, I had to call the gas company and deal with some pipes, right? So then all of the stuff go on or whatever. And so then he's doing this thing. And then, you know what I'm saying, the bubble guts come back.
Oh,
so he's sitting up there farting and all this type of shit. Yo, when I tell you, my son, when he started running off, my son said, he said, I guess he got to call the gas company back. Yo,
no.
I was in that motherfucking crying.
That is hilarious. And shout out to him for having great timing, because that was perfection. But the one of the best parts of that scene is he walking down and somebody, I don't know who they have it slated for or whether this is a real thing or not. But in the movie, you hear niggas say, don't bring it over here.
Yeah, hilarious.
Hey, man. Hey, bro. If you ever had the BGs, you know that once you get to letting them loose, it's a different type of smell. That's a whole different vibe. You don't want that just out in public, okay? That'll clear out. Put it like this: if Godzilla is coming and you got the BGs, go let out a fart in the crowd, okay? Godzilla ain't killing nothing. He ain't stepping on nothing because everybody cleared out.
Yo, that shit was hilarious, bro.
Absolutely. Shout out to him for that.
He said, "Yeah, that was hilarious." He said, we can simply say. what was so funny? He said, simply say. And then he fought. He was like,
wait a minute. He messed up. He said, if we can simply say.
Well, that shit was so funny, but.
Hey, man.
Oh, man.
So basically, at the end of all of this, you know what I'm saying? Ray Budd got over his fear of looking at his daddy in the casket. And they pretty much just, you know what I'm saying? It went through like a normal black funeral. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody got, you know what I'm saying? They got over their little get down. Ray Budd, of course, had to go up there and speak because the Reverend ate Mexican the night before. And
Junior fucking up as normal.
Oh, I mean.
Made a whole scene. Through the whole damn funeral.
That Junior had to go goddamn get
a fucking slushy.
Yeah, come on.
That was a slushy that time.
That's what I'm saying. Come on, man. Really?
Making out of nowhere with a damn bag.
Nigga, you don't know what's open and what's closed. Get your ass the fuck on, man. Fuck that Pepsi.
Hey, no. He said, Anthony Anderson is just funny when he just be talking. Like, he'll be talking. Yo, he said when he was like, Sharice, I love you. Like, take me back out of type shit. So she splashed him with the face with the damn icy. And she said, I was supposed to just take you back. He was like, yeah. And then so she gave him a hug. She's like, I love you. He said, don't do me like that, baby.
Hey, man, when that nigga said, he's in that car and he said, I'm gonna kill you and then I'm gonna kill me. That lets you know everything you need to know about this character, bro. This nigga's a sick individual. Because, first and foremost, who owns a station wagon? And what year is this again?
2001.
Who owns a station wagon in 2001? Not a newer station wagon. This is an Oldsmobile. What's the Chevy Chase movies?
Vacation.
Yeah, he had the Griswold. That's what I'm thinking of. And then they had the Griswold station wagon, bro. And that nigga was driving through dirt roads on that motherfucker. Sir, nah, man, that ain't it, bro. That ain't it.
Oh man, nah, this movie, man, it is too funny. And like, and then like I say, like when you look at the lineup, there's really only two, like flat out comedians. Everybody else is not really comedians.
Right.
But like I said, Loretta Devine just being her and the personality that she has. You know, even when we first introduced her, she called Royce and she started slapping the phone with it, you know what I'm saying? With a wooden spoon. But I was like, yo, she wild. And bro, then when she was
the perfect movie/TV mom ever, bro.
Always, yo, when she first saw Bud in that casket, she said, Bud, they got you dressed up like a $2 hoe. Hey, I was like, yo.
What? That shit was crazy, bro.
That was funny as fuck.
That was
fucking
wild, bro.
And then she's at the funeral singing to her brother, man. Like, well, at the wake, singing at her brother, yo. That's wild, bro. Yeah, Loretta Devine, she definitely always find a way to stand out in the film, man. And then I'm telling you who else I liked in this. Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker was funny.
Yeah.
That dude was funny. He always had a genuine draft. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute. Because we gotta, bro, Richard Gant, first and foremost. When you talk about somebody who has done pretty much everything in film, this nigga played in Norbit. This nigga played in Jason Goes to Hell. This nigga played in Mr. Bean. This nigga was in The Big Lebowski. Okay. He was in the new version of The Wonder Years. Let me find some older shit just to get y'all on. This nigga was a voice in American Dad. Okay. This nigga was in that's a little too early. This nigga was in Eve's TV show. This nigga was in Smallwood. This nigga was in Titus. Now, I don't know if y'all know who Titus is, but Titus used to be a comedian who ended up getting his own TV show on Fox that ran for like maybe a season and a half. He was on that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This nigga was in Moesha as Reverend Lovechild, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga was on the Drew Carey show as a reverend. Okay, this nigga was in The Nutty Professor as Denise's father, the second one, by the way. This nigga was in Godzilla in 1998.
Yeah, this dude did 36 episodes of General Hospital, man.
Come on, bro. This nigga was on Babylon 5. He was in Smart Guy. He was on Friends. Okay, when I tell you, niggas on The Parenthood. This nigga was on Touched by an Angel.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
When I tell you, this nigga has done everything there is to do in the film. That nigga has done everything there is to do, bro. So shout out to Richard Gant, bro, because he has an extensive list. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Very extensively. This nigga has done it all. And salute to him, man. I'm glad that, you know what I'm saying, we have somebody like that to be able to look at and be like, damn, bro, he really had that much of an impact in this industry. He really did his thing.
Yes, sir. 100% agree with you.
So, we about to be closing up, man. So, let's go ahead and get into the fire flames. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Yoga fire. Yoga flame.
All right, man. So what you giving this?
Like we said, man, you know, we've been going on and on about the cast, so there's no need to keep going on that. I think the story was great. I think you summed it up perfect. Hour 30, even though it's not too short, it's not too long, but you get the drift of everybody in the family. They found a way to pretty much give us everything we needed with everybody within the family. It's funny as hell. I laugh every time I watch it. and I'm going to give this movie a 4.5. I was really close to giving it a 5, but I'm not going to give it a 5, but I'm going to give it a 4.5, man, because this movie to me was comedic genius. And I think Whoopi Goldberg, we didn't talk about her a lot. Whoopi Goldberg, she did her thing in this. She really did. So I'm going to rock with a 4.5 on this.
So I'm going to agree with you with everything you said. However, I'm going to give it a 4. And the reason I give it a 4 is because I felt like the cast could have used a little bit more star power, right? I think they could have found maybe one or two other people to kind of elevate what they were doing. However, because they couldn't, or because they maybe didn't have the budget, or whatever the case had been, the cast did do just enough to be able to make this movie funny, to be able to make this movie dramatic and make it everything it was. I think that this, everything about this movie is hilarious, but to me, the thing that I pay attention to the most, and if you listen to this, you guys already know that I'm real big on the small things, on the intricacies of the scenes and just everything about the movie. Excuse me. And the funny thing about this movie is that it's certain parts that may not have words. It may not have anything prompting it or anything else. It's just small things in the movie that just make you laugh, right? Mm-hmm. To me, one of those things was the fact that Delightful and Tiny, this whole time throughout this movie, are having these interactions and nobody's paying attention to it.
No, and do you even realize Delightful never said a word through the whole movie?
That's my point. Tiny didn't either. So yeah. through this whole movie, these two are having these interactions. They're not saying nothing. It ain't nothing crazy. It ain't nothing wild. It's just they having these interactions with each other, and that's it. That's it. That's all. And eventually you see them in the end or towards the end, and they, you know what I'm saying, they finally meet up and do their thing. But throughout the movie, though, they constantly seeing each other, interacting with each other, everything. To me, I feel like when you see something like that in a movie, it's genius because you already know what's going on as the person viewing it. You don't necessarily have to have any kind of dialogue or have any kind of prompt in any of this. You could kind of just see like, okay, they feeling each other. Something is going on here. And eventually you figure out that's what's going on. So eventually, you know what I'm saying, you got to just look at it and be like, you know what, this is something that I have to pay attention to. And because you pay attention through it all, you start to see this little points at where they just keep, you know what I'm saying, inserting it in the film and playing it out. So I definitely appreciated that. I thought that was, you know what I'm saying, something that was super artistic about this film that kind of helped this film stand out, especially when you got people in here who don't even have to talk and they still like a major part of the story. You got to show that love. So yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give it a 4.
Okay, fun fact before we go.
What's up?
You know when this movie was released? Mm-mm. April the 11th, 2001. We 1 day off.
Oh, that's crazy.
We 1 day off. And estimated budget for this movie, mm-hmm. $7 million. You know what they made on opening day?
How much?
7.5. They end up grossing worldwide 23.3.
And you said how much was it to do it?
Seven million.
$7 million. So domestically, they made $500,000 more and then made triple that worldwide.
Yep, when it's all said and done.
Respect. That's what's up. See, that's what I'm saying. When you let, and remember this, go back to what I was saying on the last episode. When you let black people just make a fucking movie and let them do their thing, you can make money. You can do this. But every time you want to make a movie, it don't gotta be a slave. This ain't no slave movie. This ain't no this ain't even a traumatic movie. This ain't nothing crazy. This is about a man died and his family is pretty much just trying to get the funeral together. That's all it is. Ain't nothing crazy. It ain't nothing out the way. I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You got some cheating and some goofy shit here, but I mean, that's just really just family issues. That ain't specifically set to no type of family or nothing. It's just family issues that you go through in the process of trying to get your loved one, you know what I'm saying, into a funeral. Or just when the head of the family just happens to go. You know what I'm saying? Like something like that. And because we have, you know what I'm saying, like something like this is proof to show you that these stories can be told without having to be, you know, Tyler Perry-ish, where the dark-skinned man is beating the shit out of a woman, and then here comes the light-skinned man crashing through the window, picking her up and saving her, swinging on, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? That type shit. Like, yo, we can make these movies. These movies are capable of being made. Here's proof. That's all I'm saying. It's clever. It's funny. Go look at Death of a Funeral. Even though it's a remake, it's hilarious. You know what I'm saying? So we can do this, man. Let's jump into the coming soon, though, bro.
Yes, sir.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
Ha! Next episode, it's gonna be hilarious. I'm not gonna lie to you, because now you said you seen this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I've played this multiple times. Haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to actually watch this, and we are going to review this the next episode. The movie in question is Night Swim. I don't even know what this shit is about. That's the crazy part. You know what I'm saying?
Let's just say somebody bought a house, turned out to have a haunted pool in the back. Let's just say that.
Oh, it was a haunted pool. That's a whole... Okay.
Let's say that.
I watch it myself. So anyway, haunted pool, white people, black people, you know what I'm saying? Regular people, people moving in, rich people, you know what I'm saying? Swimming at night.
That's the weird... That's my biggest pet peeve with this movie.
Yeah.
You know, my biggest pet peeve with this movie.
Night, first and foremost, why are you out in the night swimming? You know what I'm saying? That's a question. Second, when you seen the lights flickering, why did you stay in the pool? Never mind. Don't worry about it. We'll get to that in the next episode. Next time on Dragon Ball Z. So, if you liked this episode, if you didn't like this episode, if you too felt like Sharice was a dirtbag, it was unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? And he should have just left her on the side of the road, made her get out the car in the beginning. Hit us up. Let us know. You know what I'm saying? On Instagram and Twitter, at ViewAnonPod. On Facebook, VA Pod Watch Group. You can also leave a comment on the YouTube videos. Next two are coming up soon. I already got them loaded up, so they should be out by the time this episode comes out. And also, sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/viewersanonymous. Get in there, join up, catch those episodes. We got a lot more coming your way. And if you'd like to follow me at Scooch Bronson on Twitter. Got a link in the bio. You can find me everywhere else there.
And y'all can find me at s.foster8 on Instagram, X, and TikTok, at 28 Minutes or Less Pod. That's just on IG. Follow the podcast 28 Minutes or Less. Last episode is 149, named it Perfection, where I talked about the women's championship. Caitlin Clark, J. Cole, went into a lot of different things there. And but that's all I got.
That's what's up, man. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, your support is greatly appreciated. Without you, there could be no us. And until the next episode, like they say in Hollywood,
that's a wrap.
Cut.